Studies have shown that early childhood education programs can prepare children to develop the academic, social, and emotional skills they need to succeed and graduate from high school. Other long-term benefits of early childhood education can include earning higher grades and having a lifelong love for reading and learning. Studies have also shown that children who attend high-quality early childhood education programs can develop an improved attention span, which can lead to more productivity in their adult lives. So what programs are offered to families with children aged birth to kindergarten? What does an early childhood learning environment offer its students? And how is all of this funded? We'll explore those topics and more in this episode of Educationally Speaking. Greetings and welcome to Educationally Speaking. My name is Mark Edwards, Communications Specialist with Oakland Schools and host of this award-winning podcast. In each episode, we focus on important and engaging topics related to education here in Oakland County, Michigan. If this is your first time listening, I appreciate you tuning in. Please follow Oakland Schools on social media and engage with us. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. Make sure to tell a friend and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast. In this episode, we are joined by Oakland Schools Director of Early Childhood, Dr. Dawn Koger, and Oakland Schools Early Childhood Consultant, Dr. Krista Chambleau. Thank you both for being here today and joining us. It's so good to have you.
Thanks for having us. Excited to be here.
So I'm excited about this. I have a four-year-old at home. I know you have children. Both of you have children. Some a little older now, but this is your expertise. And so I'm so excited to talk about the phase of life from birth to kindergarten. It's such a fascinating time. I often joke my career started 20 years ago as an early childhood educator, but I only lasted a little bit less than a year before I transitioned to elementary and middle school. But I truly love this age, and I wouldn't be here today without starting in that pre-K classroom. So again, thank you for all the work that you guys do. I believe that working with and developing young children is a specialty that is extremely important. And I think our society needs more educators to go into that profession. You both are early childhood experts. Please share with our listeners just a little bit about your background and expertise.
So I'll go first. I joke that my career started when I was 14 because my mom had my youngest sister at that time. She remarried when I was 13, and then suddenly we had a new baby in the house. And I was fascinated by spending time with her and watching her learn and grow. And actually, it was the hardest part for me when I went away to college was leaving my four-year-old sister. So when I went to school, I decided to study child development, and then I taught preschool for a year before going back and getting a master's in social work. And then I worked in community programs and developed a lot of early childhood and family support initiatives for Michigan State University and pursued my PhD at the same time. I came to Oakland Schools in 2005 as the early on coordinator, which we'll talk about what early on is in a bit. And I feel really lucky to come to work here every day and work with this incredible group of people and support the kids and families in our county.
Well, Dawn, I love that the fact that your start in early childhood really started with your sibling and at home and inside the home. And Krista, I'm sure you can add to that. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so I also have a younger sister who I couldn't wait to be born. At 5.5 years old, and I was her mother. But my background is rooted in psychology. So I was inspired by a psychology course that I took in high school, and I decided at that time that I wanted to be a clinical psychologist. So I enrolled at Miami University in Ohio as a psychology major and pretty quickly began my training and my work as a counselor at Butler County's Crisis Center. Wow. So, and I continued that work for 4 years. So it was really because of my experience and reflections on my work at the Crisis Center that I pivoted. So a great majority, if you can just imagine, a great majority of the calls that came in were from people during very fragile moments who began to open up with me about their family life and their upbringing.
Absolutely.
So my calling and what I decided to do was to adjust my educational path and my career path to focus on the healthy development of children and families. And so I worked as a teacher aide at Miami University's Lab School. And then fast forward, so my PhD from MSU is in the area of family and child ecology and ecological systems theory developed by Yuri Bronfenbrenner emphasizes the interactions among and between the systems of a developing person. So this would include the roles, the norms, the rules that shape development. And I had the pleasure of working in an infant toddler room and was also the grad assistant at MSU's Child Development Center. And then I found a really good fit and spent over a decade working for a Head Start grantee office. And Head Start, if you know anything about Head Start, it's built with ecological systems in mind. So there I worked in the area of program evaluation and education. And then I've been at Oakland Schools for almost 10 years. And one aspect that I love about my work is working with early childhood professionals, so teachers and directors and specialists, and I get to design and implement professional learning on a variety of topics.
And there are so many great early childhood experts across Oakland County, here at Oakland Schools and in our district. So just a big thank you to all of our early childhood educators out there who are helping shape our students for their futures. And I'm glad to hear that you were able to pivot. You knew you were on a track and you knew that the calling was this. And so you went into that direction. So that's really good. I'm glad. When we hear people talk about public education, the conversation often focuses on K-12. So why is early childhood such an important part of that conversation?
I'm happy you asked that, because what we know from decades of research now is that what happens in the first 5 years of life is really the foundation of all future learning, behavior, and even health. So you had mentioned in your introduction that we know there's long-term benefits of high-quality early experiences, and that children who experience preschool or other early childhood programs start school better prepared to learn. There's research that shows that they are better readers in third grade. There's higher graduation rates, more likely to attend and complete college. So when we include early childhood in our K-12 public education system, what we're really doing is talking about making sure that there are opportunities and experiences for all children that will shape them to reach their potential. And if we wait until children show up at kindergarten's door, we're really ignoring the fact that what could have happened in those first 5 years would have set them on a path for success.
Greater success. And so in a sense, they're almost missing that foundational piece.
Right, they could be, which isn't to say that, by kindergarten, it's too late. We know that the brain develops throughout our life, but that birth to five window is so critical.
So Dawn mentioned the importance of ensuring that our public education system be inclusive. And early childhood is an important part of the public education conversation. Yeah. We have really an amazing opportunity for early childhood and K-12 to share and learn about the strengths of our systems and also to capitalize on those. So a few years back, I'm thinking Dawn and I had an opportunity to participate in shared learning alongside our K-12 Open Schools colleagues on a topic called deep learning. And that's the idea that learning is engaging, it's relevant, it's active, it's creative, it's steeped in real life problem solving. So this was very familiar to us. And we were both saying throughout the professional learning, it was a week long, and we kept saying, yes, 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 we agree. These are our same values in early childhood. And we have to remember that we are serving the same child, we're serving the same family. In early childhood, we're honored to partner with children and families at the beginning stages of parenting and human development.
Which is critical.
Yes, exactly. And the majority of these children and families then transition to our Oakland Schools K-12 systems. So it's clear that our values and what we desire for children and families is aligned. And there's just this really great potential being situated in an ISD through conversation for streamlined bridge building between early childhood and K-12 systems, beyond what we value. So as Dawn shared, a child's first year lays the foundation from which future learning grows. And when we work together to align our grades that follow, we're not only helping students have a strong foundation, but also experience those smooth transitions that we want. So I think we just all need to realize that the work of student well-being, of student achievement, it's not confined to a single grade. Rather, it's the collaborative and really the sustained efforts of everybody. It really truly takes the entire village.
And we know education definitely isn't one size fits all. We have different learning styles, different abilities, and so we need to tailor our curriculum and our instruction to those children, even in this phase of learning. So yeah. Oakland Schools provides a vast amount of resources to families across Oakland County. What are some of the early learning programs and services families have available to them across our districts?
Yeah, so our early childhood department works with families directly. We also support educators, and we work with other community stakeholders because we know early childhood is generally not limited to just the education system. Some people experience home visiting public health nurses or home visiting programs. So it's important that we bring all of the community stakeholders together. So I want to raise maybe four or five of our points of pride that we have here in our early childhood unit. So one of them is what we call the Great Start Collaborative. And this group brings together all of our community agencies, organizations, even for-profit businesses and families to come together and build and strengthen our early childhood system as a whole. We're really looking at pregnancy from third grade. We do a very comprehensive strategic plan every 3 years where we get voice from 500 to 600 community partners, including parents, to talk about what do we want and need for children and families in Oakland County. And then this group also supports a lot of events like parent-child play groups. We develop resources. During COVID, we had literacy kits. We knew families like our libraries but couldn't go to the libraries. So we created these literacy learning kits where families got books and then ideas about how to read and extend the learning through books at home. And then we also support home visiting programs as well so that families that need more intensive support around particular areas can get that. In addition to the collaborative, we have sort of a subgroup called our Parent Coalition, and that is a place for families who have children birth to eight. They meet one another, they create an agenda for shared learning, so they might decide they want to know more about healthy nutrition or relaxed meal times or, you know, bedtime rituals and routines, or, you know, just learning more about parenting and child development. But also, we want them to learn how to, or have the confidence to express their voice about what does the system need from a family perspective. You know, they're the ones that we're hoping to serve. So we can't tell them what they need. Sure. We want to hear what exactly. So our parent coalition is very active, and we work really closely with a lot of other organizations and groups across the county so that it's representative of Oakland County.
That's great.
Another point of pride for us is Help Me Grow. So Help Me Grow is, think of it sort of like a resource and referral line. We have care coordinators who answer a telephone line, chat, email, text message, however. They are there and they answer calls from families who are saying, hey, I need a preschool in Wild Lake, or I need a childcare center that does after-hours care in Troy, or I need to know about a specialist for my child's particular medical concern. So these care coordinators then connect the families with resources in the community, and we work tirelessly to make sure that we have a very comprehensive listing of all of the resources that are available in Oakland County so that the families are able to get their needs met. And I think the last time we surveyed families, 98% said when they called the care coordinators, they were able to get connected to what they needed in the community, because you don't know where to call.
Sure.
So now you just call this one number.
That's great. Can you share that hotline or that number with our audience?
Yes, I can. It is 844-456-5437.
That's great. So if you need any services and you have, and I, again, correct me if I'm wrong, is that Birth to Eight or that was a coalition? That was a parent coalition.
So we do, generally we do offer referrals up until the age of eight, but primarily our focus is Birth to Five.
Okay.
But we do go to eight for many, many referrals.
We can steer our families in the right direction.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Another really amazing resource that Help Me Grow offers is we have something called the Ages and Stages Questionnaire, which is a developmental screening tool. Any family in Oakland County can go online and fill out a link to see if their child is developing on track. And the care coordinators will also review every single screen that comes into them and then get back with the family and let them know that either their child is on track or that their child might need further evaluation or a referral to another community agency. So that's a really nice service to families because all of us wonder, you know, is this what's supposed to happen or
sure.
what's supposed to happen next or why is my child not?
There's no guidebook, right?
No.
And we need to support each other. So that's why I love that you have the Parent Coalition. Families can connect. They can build these relationships and again, just help each other out along the way.
Absolutely.
That's good.
Absolutely.
Anything else to share on that?
Yeah. We actually have two other programs I wanted to
please
highlight
share.
Quickly.
Please
One
share.
Of them is Early On. So Early On is the system of services for infants and toddlers who have developmental delays or disabilities. And so
Excellent
Early On's
program.
Tagline is don't worry, but don't wait. Mm. So we want families who maybe have that little nagging voice in their head wondering. They don't need to wonder alone or stay up late at night. They can call Early On, and Early On will connect them to a free developmental evaluation. And if their child is found eligible, they also would receive free early intervention services. And then finally, a program that many of our families are aware of in Oakland County is Great Start Readiness Program, which we refer to as GSRP. And GSRP is Michigan's state-funded preschool program for four-year-old children. Currently, we have a little over 200 classrooms in Oakland County offered through all of our local school districts and a variety of child care centers, private centers. It provides a high-quality environment with a loving and caring teaching team at low or no cost to families that are currently earning around $80,000 for a family of four. But depending on legislation for next year, that could go up to over $100,000 a year.
That would be great. And
yeah.
I'm sure our families would really appreciate that extra support because the GSRP program is excellent. If you have a young child, please research that.
Absolutely.
Not to cut you off. But.
And call the care coordinators
yes.
because since we don't know yet what the legislative policy will be, we're telling all families, fill out an application. And if
right.
you're eligible, then we know that you'll be slated for a spot come September.
That's really good. I know that was a lot of information,
yes.
and we're so grateful for that information. If you're listening and you want to learn more, please go to oakland.k12.mi.us. Go under the Programs tab and select Early Childhood. You can get in contact with the team there, and you can learn more about all of their offerings that Dawn was so graciously able to just offer us. So let's shift gears a little bit to what, again, I'm just fascinated with, insight on brain development of young children and how early interventions can impact a student's overall success in life. Could you please provide some insight how the brain of a young child develops and how early interventions can impact a student's overall success in life?
Yeah, so that's a great question and it's fascinating. So in early childhood, family members and early childhood professionals are brain architects. So we work together to engineer a critical human structure, that being the developing brain. And it's pretty powerful to think that the development of the brain architecture provides the foundation for all learning, for all behavior, for all of health. But the caveat is that healthy brains just, you know, they don't develop on their own. Rather, they depend on sensitive, responsive, caring people.
Sure. and sleep and food and nutrition and even introduction to classical music in the womb we've heard through, you know, history. It can be so helpful to that young developing brain. So
yes, so the brain, like you mentioned, it's not all about the brain. It's the rest of the body as well, right? We know that brains are tender and they require tender, loving care. And there's a whole lot to this brain science story that we'd love to share in early childhood. So I just want you to estimate how many new neural connections are formed every second in the first few years of life. What would your estimate
be? That's a question for me. One more time, give me the whole question.
Okay. So estimate how many new neural connections are formed every second in the first few years.
Ooh, that's so interesting. What a great question. I'm not going to Google it. I'll go with a safe 100,000.
Okay. So would you be blown away if I told you over a million?
Over a million.
Yes.
Wow.
Every second. It is super impressive.
It's somewhat beyond understanding.
Exactly.
Right?
How do you conceive that, right? So part of the brain science story is that brain architecture consists of billions of connections between individual neurons across different areas of the brain, and the connections that form early provide either a strong or a weak foundation for the connections that form later. The early years are the most active period for establishing those neural connections. But it's helpful to know that new connections can form throughout life.
We're not all fizzling out on us here,
yes,
right?
I'm sure through this conversation,
Did I lose some? I don't know.
I think there's a lot of connections.
I'm hoping. Me too. And I talk about that with my daughters. She's 9. And about new pathways. And we talk about the gray matter that can develop in the brain when you don't read or when you stop learning.
Yes.
So I just talked to her about being a lifelong learner. And all kids and all of us should be lifelong learners, right?
Yeah, it's that experience. You're right. So I'd like to highlight one exciting part of this brain science story. There's so much to it.
Absolutely.
But
I know we can't get to it all, but
yes,
please pour it
yes.
out for us.
So although we know that genes provide the blueprint for the formation of brain circuits, these circuits are reinforced by repetition with that experience that you mentioned.
Sure.
And I want all of the listeners to brace themselves, because we know from the science what the key ingredient is in the developmental process. So wouldn't that be cool if you knew what the key ingredient was? Like, you'd want to do something about it,
absolutely.
Right?
Feed that need.
So the major ingredient in this developmental process is what we lovingly refer to as the serve and return interactions between children and their parents and other caregivers in the family or in the community. To give an example.
So
when an infant or young child babbles, gestures, or cries, an adult responds appropriately, right, with eye contact, words, a hug, and those neural connections are built and they're strengthened in the child's brain. And that's what supports later on, right, the development of communication, social skills, and
motor skills.
Yes, right. And that has the huge impact on a student's success. So we can think about it as we like to use metaphors. So we can think about it as a game like ping pong with this back and forth dynamic that it's not only super fun, but it is capacity building. So and this isn't really just the case for infants, right? It's true for preschool age children. So when teachers are sensitive and they're responsive to a preschool age child's signals and needs, they provide that environment that's rich in that serve and return experience.
And so our young children, they need eye contact, they need verbal responses to them. Here, can you answer this? So especially with our infants in general, when they babble, and I always spoke as an adult back to my children, should parents be babbling back, or should they be speaking like adults back to their child? Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And I would say it can be either or. You know, sometimes when your baby just says ba 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 ba, you reply with the same.
Sure.
But other times you might say, oh my goodness, are you hungry? Or did you see the doggy? Like, it's okay. I think the important part is to not put pressure on ourselves. Are we doing it right? But just knowing that it's that back and forth interaction that's so powerful, because your child is attempting to communicate with you, and that's so validating when they think, oh, they understand me. You know, she knows or he knows I'm trying to say something. So that's really the most important thing, is that you are responding in a warm and loving way.
They need more of that. And I just think as adults, we get so busy. We're around the house. Our children are at our knees and they're doing, you know, they're making these, and we're busy. So stop and pause and respond to your children, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Take the moment.
And actually,
the dishes can wait.
They can wait. They'll still be there.
Right.
And you made me think about one of the strategies we use in early childhood is we have a public awareness campaign that we call, that is Sing, Say, Point, Play. And what this, where this came from is we were saying, wouldn't it be amazing if everybody knew that helping children learn to talk, or babies learn to talk and children learn to read, is actually kind of simple. Like, it's very simple strategies. We need to sing, we need to talk, you know, you point out important things in the environment, label them, and we play. And all of that is really based on what we know from the science that tells us back and forth, serve and return, is so impactful in those early years.
The research is there. We need to listen to it.
And it's emerging.
And
I think, I mean, the brain science, it's exploding. And we do, like Dawn says, we use that research to inform our work. So, for example, we learned from some very important research back in the 1990s from researchers Betty Hart and Todd Risley that children who were exposed to more words in their formative years had significant differences in children's language skills when they entered kindergarten. And that had a direct impact on how students fared early on in their school. But what we've learned since, and this is the emerging science, and I want to credit the cognitive scientists at MIT, is that words matter, but more importantly, it's that mechanism, that serve and return back and forth, that's most important. In 2018, these MIT researchers, they used like super fancy technology, they used functional magnetic resonance imaging, fMRI, to identify differences in the brain's responses to language and correlated that with the number of conversational turns. So it's the conversations between adult and child that actually, it literally changes the child's brain, the Broca's area. So that serve and return, that back and forth, that's actually more critical to language development than simple like word exposure, right? And what I think we all find compelling about that evidence, it's not dependent on SES. So the finding applies to children regardless of parental income, regardless of parental education. So we take breakthrough studies like that and we use it in designing our interventions like Sing, Say, Point, Play and other interventions to incorporate even more conversations into young children's lives. So my own personal example in my training a couple weeks ago for pre-K teachers, this was on literacy instructional practices, but we used the science to role play the power of using an open-ended question just to get the conversation started and then practice that technique of back and forth. So the brain science that we have, it informs our interventions, and that has a positive impact on student success in life.
Really muscle memory, right?
And that's
brain
it.
Muscle memory, yeah. Yep. So fascinating, so many layers to it. If you just joined us, today's guest, our Oakland Schools Director of Early Childhood, Dr. Dawn Koger, and Oakland Schools Early Child Consultant, Dr. Krista Chambleau. When we come back, I'd like to talk to you guys about the classroom setting and April being the month of the young child. We'll be right back. Hello and thank you to everyone listening on 89.5 WAHS, 89.3 Lakes FM, radio cmlf.org, and our newest partner WSHJ out of Southfield A&T High School. Remember, you can download the Educationally Speaking podcast on Apple, Google, and Spotify. Are you a parent or guardian of a young child? If so, our early childhood team works collaboratively with Oakland County schools, families, and communities to develop a systematic approach to support the development and academic achievement of all children from birth to kindergarten. If you or someone you know is interested in free preschool, call 1-844-456-5437. That's 1-844-456-5437. We're back with Oakland Schools Director of Early Childhood, Dr. Dawn Koger, and Oakland Schools Early Childhood Consultant, Dr. Krista Chambleau. Thank you both for being here today. Ready to pick things back up, how does an early childhood classroom setting foster the academic, social, and emotional development of all students? What does the instruction look like in today's early childhood classroom? Could you please share?
Yes, I love this question so much because it's directly tied to my work at Oakland Schools. So I'll speak to what is typical in our Great Start Readiness Program classrooms. So the setting, as you mentioned, it includes both the physical and the social spaces. And I'll talk a little bit more about the social aspect. So we know that it's the people in these settings, right? The adults and the children that activate the experiences. So we view our children as active learners, and we view our early childhood professionals as activators. Our teachers, our amazing teachers, are the ones who partner with families. And this begins at the beginning of the year with an initial home visit. So, and that purpose of the home visit is to learn about each child's interests, their strengths, and the family's hopes and dreams for their child. So with families, teachers develop learning goals for children. And these learning goals can be related, for example, to making friends or to becoming an emergent reader or to learning how to count, these types of learning goals. There's typically two teachers in a GSRP classroom who work together, and they use the information that's gathered from families as well as their ongoing observations. Every day, the adults are observing children to thoughtfully plan and to implement learning routines and activities. They offer rich opportunities for learning experiences, and they have countless caring interactions with children who they value, once again, as active learners. So we've been learning as a profession about the very powerful benefits of what's called guided play. That's where the adult plays alongside the child and provides immediate and meaningful feedback that extends their learning. So if you can imagine a child in the block area playing with a set of blocks, building a structure, the adult might be by that child's side using the same materials the same way and may pause and ask the child, you know, in wondering, wow, there's so many layers to your structure. I wonder how many levels you have, you know, to encourage estimation. And then they might follow up with counting. They might talk about the shapes of the blocks. Absolutely. So using those opportunities.
Such a great way to learn.
So, in our GSRP room, there's parts of the daily routine that are child initiated, like work time and outside time, where the child makes the big decisions. They communicate these decisions during what we call planning time. So children are making the choices about what to play, where to play, how to play, who to play with, and what materials to use. All those choices.
Choice theory, right?
That's
so
right.
Big on that.
Yes.
I love that. Glasser.
Yes. Yeah, it's coming back. Yeah. And then there are parts of the daily routine that are adult initiated. So those are times that the adult chooses the learning objectives, the activity, the materials. So if you can imagine like a large group experience in a classroom where all the children are gathered together as a classroom community to, for example, engage in a cooperative game like using a parachute and sponge balls. So an experience like that still allows for children's input, choice, and ideas, but the children might choose the music, let's say, that they used to play with.
A lot of choice, a lot of collaboration,
exactly.
A lot of motor skills,
that's
singing,
what it looks like.
Dancing, moving.
That's right,
love
yes.
That.
Yeah, so I think when it comes to your question about instruction, I just want to emphasize that the critical elements of instruction in pre-K is children partnering with families together with using information about the child, their interests, their strengths, their developmental needs, together with designing the physical space, together with planning meaningful learning opportunities that are based on the curriculum content, together with all those sensitive, appropriate adult support and scaffolding.
Thank you so much for that. Again, a lot of layers, right? And it's hard to cover everything in a short conversation, but definitely appreciate your expertise and insight. So April creates awareness by celebrating the month of the young child. Why is this such an important initiative? And is Oakland Schools doing anything unique to recognize the month of the young child?
So what we love about the month of the young child is that it focuses public attention on the needs of young children and families, as well as indicating the array of programs and services that are available in communities. So our Great Start Collaborative and our Parent Coalition have lots of events planned for the month. If you follow us on social media, the Great Start Collaborative Oakland on Facebook or Instagram, you can see the different events that we have planned, not only in the month of the young child, but actually all year long.
Definitely, which we want to celebrate our young children all year long. Exactly. But it is nice to have a month designated to them.
Absolutely.
Anything else you want to share on that?
I'd love to share.
Absolutely, Krista, please do.
So we have a beautiful collection of stories through what we call Learning Through Play series. This is a collection of very short clips of teachers, real teachers in our real Oakland schools, GSRP classrooms, sharing their stories of guided play and all the learning potential through play. So there's 5 videos, and they will be launched through Oakland School social media.
Very good. So if you're out there listening, please follow the Oakland School social media. Please follow the GSRP social media and look out for those videos, the Learn Through Play series. So excited to see some of that work. Governor Whitmer upped the ante this year when she announced at the State of the State her support for universal pre-kindergarten through the Great Start Readiness Program. How will that impact the landscape of early childhood as we move forward?
We think this is incredible, and we're so grateful that our governor and our legislature is considering the importance of universal pre-K in our state. And we've talked a lot in this podcast about the great benefits for children. So what this means is that every 4-year-old in the state of Michigan will have access to a high-quality program. And it also has a great benefit for families. Preschool is expensive. A year of childcare can cost a family $13,000 or more. So what universal pre-K means is not only do children have access to a high-quality learning environment for their 4-year-old year, but it also means that many families can look forward to a significant amount of savings.
Absolutely, which I'm sure a lot of families need that right around these days.
Absolutely.
So that's good news. I'm glad to hear that Governor Whitmer is pushing for that initiative and glad that we're funding education appropriately. What advice do you have for parents or future parents of young children?
So I would say for parents that you are the most significant person in your child's life and you already have what it takes. So use those simple moments to connect with your child and enjoy those serve and return brain building and bonding interactions.
And I would just add, don't forget that we have the Great Start Collaborative Oakland and the Help Me Grow Care Coordinators. So if you have any question about your child or resources that might be available to your family, please call 844-456-5437.
I'd like to thank Oakland School's Director of Early Childhood, Dr. Dawn Koger, and Oakland School's Early Childhood Consultant, Dr. Krista Chambleau, for joining us today. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
If you have a show idea, question, or comment, or want to get recognized as Listener of the Month, we'd love to hear from you. Just drop us a line at educationallyspeaking@oakland.k12.mi.us. That's educationallyspeaking@oakland.k12.mi.us. This podcast was brought to you by Oakland Schools Intermediate School District's Communication Services and is produced by media production specialist Brian Beck. You can find all episodes of Educationally Speaking on our Oakland Schools website at oakland.k12.mi.us and Anchor FM. We hope you will continue to tune in as we discuss topics that affect every student every day.